So I have to ask you about this paper because I never even thought about it. Pregnancy outcomes with MPNs.
Well, I'm really glad you asked me about pregnancy outcomes with MPNs because that's a subject that's really close to my heart, actually. And one of the reasons it is was when I started in my current job at Guy's and St Thomas's in London, one of the first patients I met was a young woman who wanted to get pregnant. And she'd had a devastating pregnancy history. So she was 31 at the time. She'd had four previous miscarriages, not all of them early, some of them very late. And, you know, she was desperate to have a family. And the question was, well, you know, okay, doctor, what do you recommend? And I looked in the literature. This was a patient with P. vera. And there was so little in the literature for this patient. And at the time, I was working closely with Beverly Hunt, who's got a big interest in pregnancy and antiphospholipid syndrome. And there's a lot of parallel between antiphospholipid syndrome, as it causes thrombosis, and early pregnancy loss. So, you know, one of the things we think about in the myeloproliferative diseases is that pregnancy may be problematic because the placenta is not functioning normally. So the patients get thrombotic episodes, if you like, affecting the placenta. And that's exactly what happens in antiphospholipid syndrome. So we decided that we would empirically treat this young woman with aspirin, low molecular weight heparin, and then interferon alpha, because we felt we needed to use a drug to control her blood counts. And we were well aware that many of the other agents, such as hydroxycarbamide, could not be used in pregnancy for safety purposes. And so then I got really interested in pregnancy and pregnancy outcomes, and also really interested in trying to find a way to work with obstetricians who often see young women that have early miscarriages. And that might be an early manifestation, for example, of PV or ET in a young woman. It may be the first time they have a blood count. Maybe the obstetrician's not really looking at the fact that the patient's got a pretty high hemoglobin. Maybe they're just looking and thinking, great, they're not anemic, or great, they're not thrombocytopenic. So we took a look back in the literature and then started to use the same regime for treating our patients. And we've done a couple of things, actually. So we did a literature search and then published on outcomes in PV. We've done a study in the UK where we use a reporting card that goes to every single hospital in the UK that has an obstetric unit. It goes to the obstetrician and a midwife. And we asked them, can you please report any patients you had with myeloproliferative neoplasms? We didn't tell them what to do in terms of treatment, but we have quite a tradition of having national guidelines in the UK, and we had some guidelines for how to manage pregnancy based on what we'd done with antiphospholipids. And we were able to look at pregnancy outcomes in these conditions. And what we found was that actually most of our colleagues were using pretty much the national guidelines. So pretty much for a low-risk pregnancy, patients were having aspirin. And then in the immediate postpartum period, they were getting low molecular weight heparin. If they were high-risk in their disease otherwise, or they were high-risk for pregnancy, i.e. they'd had three early losses or a late event in the past, we used interferon. And the happy news was that whilst there were still some complications in pregnancy, well over 85 to 90% of pregnancies had a successful outcome. By that, I mean a live birth. However, the incidence of low birth weight infants, so infants with a birth weight below the 20th centile, was higher than we would have expected. And we still did have some maternal morbidity, such as venous thromboembolic events.
So you mentioned antiphospholipid syndrome. What is that?
So antiphospholipid syndrome is both a laboratory and a clinical phenomenon. So the antiphospholipid antibody was first noted in a coagulation lab because basically it prolongs our standard coagulation tests. So I'm thinking about the APTT and the PT. And this is an antibody that basically interferes with the coagulation cascade in the laboratory. And so you get a prolonged APTT and PT. Usually the laboratory thinks, oh, this might be a hemophilia, adds in plasma to see if they can correct the prolongation, just at what's called a 50-50 mix. It doesn't correct. And so that suggests the presence of an inhibitor. And these are antibodies that bind to phospholipid and cause that prolongation. But it's not enough just to be able to detect the antibody in the laboratory, and it can be detected in several ways. For example, using a dilute Russell's Viper Venom Time, or looking for anticardiolipin or anti-beta-2 glycoprotein antibodies or others. Also, if you have the syndrome, you need to have had a clinical manifestation. And they have many overlaps, actually, with myeloproliferative neoplasm. So we mentioned pregnancy outcomes. So early pregnancy losses, late pregnancy events, arterial and venous thrombosis are kind of characteristic features of this condition. And it's managed generally with anticoagulation. There is an association with systemic lupus erythematosus and other connective tissue disorders. But also, interestingly, early in my career, we noticed we had a couple of young patients with MPN who presented with a stroke and were also found to have antiphospholipid antibodies. So we did a survey of our MPN patients and found that they were slightly more likely to have antiphospholipid antibodies. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that you should go out and test all your MPN patients for antiphospholipid antibodies, however.